Welcome to the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR, where we talk to business leaders from around Ireland and share their advice on how to create the HR systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, simply visit www.insighthr.ie/podcast. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Okay, let's get started.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the HR Room Podcast. Regulations have been published setting out the new on-the-spot fines that can be imposed on employers by a Workplace Relations Commission Inspector for employment law offences. But which offences are included, how will it work, and what must employers do to ensure they don't get fined? To answer these questions and many more, we're delighted to be joined by Sarah Lawn, Senior Associate in the Employment Law Group at Arthur Cox. Thanks for joining us, Sarah. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Thank you for having me, Owen and Mary. It's lovely to be here.
Brilliant. Looking forward to the chat. And as always, we're joined by our very own Mary Cullen, Founder and Managing Director here at Insight HR. How are you, Mary?
I'm great. Thanks, Owen. And delighted to have you here, Sarah.
No problem. Pleasure.
So Sarah, I might just come to yourself first, just for, I suppose, a bit of a context setter and kind of an open question. I suppose, Sarah, what's kind of the background to this? Why is it coming in? Just to set a bit of context, I suppose.
Right, yeah. So at the end of 2023, December, when we were all enjoying our leftover mince pies and Christmas cake and everything, right, the ministers were hard at work, and Minister Neil Richmond announced, I think it was the 28th or 29th of December, three new on-the-spot fines. He's the Minister of State at the Enterprise, Trade and Employment. So three new on-the-spot fines for three existing employment law offences, and then followed in mid-January the regulations. So we got the Workplace Relations Act 2015, Fixed Payment Notice, Regulations 2023. Bit of a mouthful, I won't be saying it again. The 2023 regulations were published, and these set out then the three new fixed payment notices or on-the-spot fines that had been announced, as well as three existing ones. So we then have six in total. The regs consolidate previous regs. We have six on-the-spot fines and a template fixed payment notice. In terms of how we got here, I think if the headlines very much focused in December on the tips and gratuities, the two fines related to tips and gratuities. And if you recall, there was legislation enacted in December 2022, which set about obligations around how employers should handle tips and gratuities for employees and contract workers. Built into that legislation was a 12-month review period. And that's why then in December 23, we have this announcement as they were about to look into how effective the tips and gratuities legislation was. So I think that's why we have our announcement in December and the new regs then published early January. And we now have, as I mentioned, a consolidated set of regs with the six total on-the-spot fines that exist for employment law offences in Ireland.
Brilliant stuff. Brilliant. Yeah, so it seems like a nice, transparent, right-on-time kind of bit of work, which is fantastic. So Sarah, just kind of dig in a little bit deeper before we jump over to a few different questions. I suppose just to dig into those offences, Sarah, what is covered here? So I suppose the question is, what exactly are the breaches that employers can get fined for based on this?
Okay, well, there's three new ones. And as I mentioned, two of the new ones relate to breaches of the tips and gratuities legislation. So I think it's worth just understanding and looking at that legislation quickly so we understand the basis of this. It was Payment of Wages, Tips and Gratuities Act 2022 introduced new rules for employers on how they treat tips, gratuities and service charges. Now, importantly, those rules only related to particular sectors. So those sectors were hospitality, tourism, hairdressing, taxis and delivery services, among a few others. So limited to a particular set of sectors. And interestingly enough, it also covered not only employees, but also platform workers benefited from these new obligations. Very high level overview of what are these obligations. So employers can't use your tips and gratuities, given whether it's in the, as I said, hospitality, tourism, hairdressing, taxis. The employers can't use those tips and gratuities to make up any contractual wages, and they can't make any deductions from a person's wages in relation to tips and gratuities. Employer workers are legally entitled to their electronic tips. Okay, that's important. Cash tips are not covered here. So electronic tips, workers must get these, and they have to be distributed in a fair manner. So the employer then must also provide a statement, like your payslip essentially, to workers that shows the amount of tips that they get in a particular period and the portion paid to the individual. The employer can't retain any share of a tips or gratuities, but they may have to, I think, particularly where you have electronic tips, sometimes there are bank charges, which that's legitimate, it's covered by law. They can come off the tips that are put through your electronic device. The other big one is that businesses must display a policy on how they treat tips and gratuities. And then there were regs separately published about where you have to publish or set out in your business this display. So it depended whether you were a kind of a mobile business, a fixed premises, or an online business. So if you were paying through an app, it would have to be displayed within the app if you were adding tips. So this policy on how tips and gratuities are going to be treated by an employer then becomes part of an individual's terms of engagement or core terms. And if you recall, your core terms need to be given to you within 5 days. So, sorry, this is a bit of a whistle-stop tour of all the high-level bits of this piece of legislation, just as a reminder. So that's your displaying policy. And then the other thing then is, if you have a service charge, it that money that you charge customers, and you call it a service charge, it has to go to your workers. So you can call it a service charge, or you might call it something else. But if it implies that it's going to workers, it has to go to workers. You can't call it a service charge and then keep it, essentially. Okay, so that's a bit of a whistle stop tour there. But out of that, then we have two of the three new on the spot fines. So the first one is €750 on the spot fine if an employer does not provide an employee with a written statement on the distribution of tips and gratuities. As I said, that written statement is very like your pay slip, where you would set out what they've got. So if you haven't provided that to employees, that's a €750 on the spot fine. Or if you failed to treat your service charge as a tip. So if you're saying it's a service charge, but it's not going to the workers, that is also a €750 on the spot fine. The next one then, so they had grouped them, actually, those two breaches are the €750. The next one then is a €500 on the spot fine, and that's where you don't display your tips and gratuities notice. So as I said, there are regs, not going to go into them. They don't make for that interesting reading, but there is a set of regs that sets out where in your business you need to put your notice. So if you have not displayed that notice, so they have a tips and gratuities notice, or what they call a contract workers, that's like your platform workers, tips and gratuities notice. So they do distinguish between the one for employees and the one for platform workers. That's a €500 on the spot fine. So those are the two sets of new on the spot fines related to your tips and gratuities. Where it gets particularly interesting, having spent all that time talking about tips and gratuities, and as I said at the outset, the headlines in December for this announcement were all about new fines on the spot fines for tips and gratuities. And as we know, the tips and gratuities legislation only relates to very specific sectors, which I listed out. The third on the spot fine is the most interesting because it applies to all sectors. All employers all employers have this obligation. So this third new on-the-spot fine, it's a €1,500 fine, so it's much more substantial than the other two, is where an employer fails without reasonable cause to provide an employee with their terms of employment within 1 month of their commencement date, or provides false or misleading information to the employee. So this is the most far-reaching and didn't make it to the headlines back in December. This relates to all employers have an obligation to give their employees their terms of employment within 1 month. And as I said, it's the heftiest one at 1,500, not limited to any particular sector. So that is the one really from this announcement and these new regs that is the most far-reaching and the most interesting. And it was a kind of a by-the-by when you read the announcement. And so that's why I think this is in particular worth highlighting, because when you lead with tips and gratuities, people think, well, that doesn't apply to my sector, so I don't need to worry about that. We don't deal with tips or gratuities, so I don't need to understand these new on-the-spot fines. And just to kind of finish it off, to remind people of the existing, so prior to these new regs, there were only three on-the-spot fines that had been introduced in the last few years. So the largest of them is a €2,000 fine. And this is for a very specific instance. It's where there's a collective redundancy situation and where you fail to consult with the employee's reps and to provide them with mandatory specified information. So you can understand why that's quite a high on the spot, you know, the idea being wanting it to be a deterrent. So that's the highest one that existed pre the recent updates. And the other two then are €1,500 fines. The first one for where an employer fails to provide an employee with a written statement of wages, a pay slip, and which should set out the nature of the wages and any deductions. So failure to provide the pay slip or something equivalent. That's under the Payment of Wages Act. And then the other one, the sixth and final on-the-spot fine at €1,500, is where an employer does not provide an employee with a statement of the average hourly rate of pay for a pay reference period at the employee's request. So that's a sort of under the minimum wage legislation, you have an entitlement to make a request to your employer for a statement of your average hourly wages. So I don't know how often that's used, but you have an obligation to respond. And if you don't provide that to an employee, they have an ability to impose an on-the-spot fine of €1,500. So that's all six, three new, three existing, all now contained in a new set of regs.
That's something that we'll make sure to link out to those in the show notes too, so people can read through them as well, because I know they'll be flicking back there trying to take notes.
Yeah, it's quite kind of wordy, a lot of them. I think the most, you know, just to be comprehensive, I've covered all six because they're now in the one regs. It's handy to have them there. But I do think the most far-reaching is the €1,500 fine for the terms of employment, which covers all sectors and it applies from, you know, for everyone. So it's the most far-reaching and most interesting development, I think.
100%. So I suppose, Mary, jumping over to yourself, how, I suppose, commonplace do we think these breaches are, Mary? I mean, are there certain ones that kind of may ring alarm bells for employers, or ones that maybe even give you shivers when you think about the amount of times you've seen this? I know there's a couple there that might be a bit more obvious than others, but just any thoughts on your own experience?
Yeah, I think, and I agree with you, Sarah, certainly when it comes to terms and conditions of employment, I find that's probably an area where there can be non-compliance or maybe poor practice around issuing them. And, you know, that's irrespective of the size of an organisation. Sometimes these things slip through the net. But you're not, if you're a large corporate who isn't on the ball around something like this, as likely to have an on-the-spot fine as you would be if you're maybe a hotel or a hospitality or catering environment, beautician, something like that. You know, you the smaller the business, the more vulnerable you are to, you know, inspections and on-the-spot fines. But we all the time still come across areas within our clients' businesses where they aren't compliant. And in some cases, they're not aware that they should be compliant. And in others, they just have poor practice. And that can be simply down to resourcing. You know, I always shout out to standalone HR people because they have such a huge job, usually unsupported. And sometimes things like this can absolutely slip through the net and you're not on top of your issuing your terms and conditions of employment. But again, I haven't seen an awful lot around the tips and gratuities. Surprisingly, I think there was quite a hoo-ha about it at the time. And actually, there seems to be a relatively high level of compliance with tips and gratuities. But again, I don't have stats. That's just my general feeling on it. And obviously, when it comes to collective redundancy and pay slips, you know, I think that tends to be thought through quite carefully, certainly when it comes to collective redundancy. And I don't see a lot of that either. So it just depends, I think, on the sector, the sophistication, the size of an organization, whether or not you have HR resources available there, whether or not your HR administration is on the ball. But in, you know, it would be a real pity to find yourself in this position when it's really just about getting your house in order and looking at your compliance.
Definitely. I suppose then, Sarah, when it comes to the non-compliance, and this might be the answer to this question might seem obvious to some people, but I think it's important to cover it. Who's the person that comes knocking at the door here, Sarah? How are they handed out? Any kind of payment terms? Who's in charge of dishing these out, I suppose?
Yeah. I mean, it's not that obvious, I think, always. I mean, I think it's important, I suppose, initially to just flag, I would say, that these are existing obligations that employers have. These are not new offences. It's just a new way of encouraging compliance and about streamlining and making more efficient the enforcement process for the workplace relations inspector who's going to come knocking on your door. So it's the Workplace Relations Commission inspectors can have the power to deliver or produce a fixed payment notice or an on-the-spot fine. And I think just back to what Mary was saying in terms of how we might not see them, they're not frequently given out to date, but I think certainly the way it was delivered and the headlines, it's really about almost reminding people of these obligations and encouraging, it's sort of a further kind of encouragement to comply. They want you to be complying, and this is just a way of streamlining that enforcement process for the Workplace Relations Commission and the WRC inspectors. The on-the-spot fine works a bit like your parking ticket, and actually in the regs, I don't know if I mentioned at the start, the regs do contain a template of what this on-the-spot fine looks like. The WRC inspector would complete that. Often, as a side note, WRC inspections are often, you are given prior notice of these, but not always. It's not always the case, but you would often be given prior notice of a WRC inspection. They complete this fixed payment notice or the template that they have. And where the fine is not paid by the employer within 42 days, the employer will be referred to the WRC's Internal Legal Affairs Committee, who will then decide whether to proceed to prosecute the offence. So prior to the introduction of the on-the-spot fine, they would have to go for these new on-the-spot fines, they would have had to just go straight to prosecution, which is quite a big, it's more onerous than just handing out your on-the-spot fine. So if you haven't paid within 42 days, They will decide whether they're going to proceed to prosecution. And if you are convicted on summary conviction of any of the offences that we've discussed, you may be liable to a Class C fine. So a Class C fine is currently at €2,500. So quite a big leap from your €500 on the spot fine that you might have under the tips and gratuities legislation for failing to display your tips and gratuities notice. So you could have paid your €500, or alternatively, you're now facing a €2,500 and it's a prosecution, which is far more serious. And if you are convicted, then the employer will be obliged to pay the WRC's costs to investigate, detect and prosecute the offence. So, you know, pay your €500 is the easier option, isn't it? It's really important to understand that these are fines per breach. So it's, you know, for each contract or terms of employment that you didn't give within the month, you could face the €1,500 on the spot fine. So the bigger your organization, the bigger your potential bill. And obviously, if you're not paying within 42 days, it all starts to really rack up. So the fines are per breach. And the other piece to bear in mind is that this is entirely separate to an employee's ability to bring their own claim under the Terms of Employment Information Act, for example, to the WRC by filling out their complaint form once it's within a, you know, the time limit. So it'll be your 6-month time limit. They can bring their claim to the WRC by filling out the form for free. So that's an entirely separate avenue that you know can impact an employer. So you could be facing the fine as well as dealing with the WRC claim from the employee, depending on timelines lining up.
Brilliant. So Mary, I suppose it's an important point that both yourself and Sarah have raised on this. I suppose, Mary, these offences aren't necessarily new. It's the way that they're being punished for non-compliance that's new with these on-the-spot fines. So I suppose, Mary, although we've said this a lot on the podcast in recent months because there's been so much coming onto the plate of HR people, this shouldn't necessarily feel like another thing for the to-do list, Mary, should it? This is stuff that's already there, should be managed, and is, I suppose, designed to just protect the employees, isn't it?
It is, but I mean, it really does depend on the organisation and your level of compliance. You know, I think sometimes when we're on this podcast and our listeners are listening in and they are kind of looking at the things that they know they haven't done and that they haven't stretched to and are on their to-do list, but they haven't got around to. I know many businesses and HR practitioners who know that they're not compliant with certain aspects of employment law and, you know, specifically around the terms and conditions of employment. And it's not that they don't have a desire to be compliant, and it's not that they, if they had more resources, that they wouldn't be compliant, but sometimes these things just keep getting pushed out. And so while I agree with you that yes, this should be done, it's sometimes not as simple as that from the individual company's perspective. That being said, you have no choice. The law is the law. And if you don't comply with it and you do get caught, then there's little sympathy. You know, I've worked with many clients around WRC inspections in the past, and you know, most of them will get through them in a reasonably straightforward fashion, and they'll be given periods of time to comply and all of that. And that has long been the approach from WRC inspectors. But these fines are a different thing. And, you know, the cost could be quite considerable, certainly around terms and conditions of employment, if you're not compliant. And so I would urge anyone who's out there listening at the moment, if you can't get to it yourself, then reach out and get support for people to help you become compliant in this area. It's important. Some of these things are quite simple to do. There's only those 6 fines. Some of them are quite simple to put in place, but it's about putting them in place, really, isn't it?
Definitely. And I suppose, Mary, you mentioned there inspections, and we've supported many clients throughout those. I suppose there's an element of stress added onto the plate when those inspections come, Mary, isn't there? Are they kind of a slightly turbulent thing to get through for already busy HR professionals?
Yeah, and I think most people, when they get a knock on the door or an inspector turns up unannounced, are going to maybe feel that sense of panic and overwhelm. And we do get calls in to our helpline from existing clients, or maybe, you know, people who aren't clients who are panicking because the WRC have shown up. And I would say, in most times, you have time to get yourself in order and get your compliance up to speed. And it can be done quite quickly. So there isn't really a need to have terror in your heart, but often they're the calls that we get where people are really afraid of an inspection. And, you know, in some cases, they have good reason to be afraid, but in the majority of cases, there are minor breaches and people have time to fix them. I don't know if that's your experience too, Sarah, or if you've seen big issues around the inspections.
I mean, I think for a lot of HR, the goal is to be compliant. And so when you're getting inspected, even if you know you feel like you've got everything under control, it's a huge spotlight on your work and your records. It's all about records. I mean, you should be aiming to be compliant and you should be working towards that always. And some of, especially depending on your sector, you see there's different focuses of different legislation depending on your sector. And you can have small numbers or huge numbers. And really it's about being organized and demonstrating you have the records and that the records are there to back up your efforts and that you've been compliant. You know, you could be compliant and yet you haven't, you're in a bit of a flurry because you're not organized with being able to present them and make them available to the WRC. You do get often, not always, as I said, but you often will get a heads up. And I think you should always be, I would say this, wouldn't I? But I mean, you should always be kind of preparing your records and keeping your records as if you're going to be inspected at any time. I know, because that takes the stress out of it. I said, of course, I'm going to say this just a little every day. But, you know, have a system in place. And this is probably going a bit to what we might be saying as takeaways. But I do think it's all about the records. You could be having the best efforts and on the ground, you know, good understanding with employees, good relationships, good where everyone feels, you know, it's happy and all. It's about the records when it comes to inspectors.
Definitely. And perfect preemption of my next question, Sarah, the kind of big one to kind of finish on, I suppose, just digging a little bit more into how can people stay compliant, any kind of key takeaways. I suppose, as you said there, it's a lot more than just updating the policy based on something that you might not have had already. There's a few different bits. It's a bit of a journey to make sure you're getting this right, isn't it, Sarah?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are two layers to the update today. There's the, if you're covered by the tips and gratuities legislation, you know, that's been in place since 2022. It's now early 2024. So just revisit that to just double check that policies haven't fallen off the wall and you've forgotten to give your latest group of hires their notices, you know, that you, where you started well, maybe in January 2023, just kind of build, check in. And I that's the first piece. So the tips and gratuities sector. And often in that sector, where you can have huge employers in hotels, or you can have very, it's still a, you know, very small 2 or 3 man operation. So if you are covered by that sector, it's been in the while now. So I think just revisit that, double check. You're comfortable with what's required. And as I said, your notices are where they're meant to be. And you're giving, sometimes if there's been a high turnover as well, you may not have kept up your best practices that you put in place when it first was introduced. And just on that, as an aside for the tips and gratuities, there has been a public consultation launched at the beginning of the year. It closed in the 22nd of February. So it closed a month ago. And so we may see changes coming to tips and gratuities obligations under the legislation, including expansion of the sectors or reduction of the sectors. A code of practice may be introduced. These were all part of the consultation. There was a whole questionnaire. So they're very much focused on it. There may be changes. So even if you currently are not within it, keep an eye in case it does come in. So that's the tips and gratuities piece. Maybe changes coming. And then everyone on your terms of employment piece, two aspects to this. Like the key piece is that you get it to your terms of employment to employees within the month. I would look at that two ways. First of all, the actual terms of employment should be compliant with the legislation. There's a long list of things that need to be in that contract. And we often prepare excellent, you know, compliant templates for organizations. And in an ideal world, your template sits there, you update it, and you give it to each person within time. But over time, templates get kind of chopped and changed and cut and pasted and lost and pieced together. And, oh, I'll just give Owen this and I'll give Mary that. And so make sure your template is compliant with the terms of employment legislation, taking into account, in particular, changes that were brought in under the European Union Transparent and Predictable Working Conditions regs. They came into effect December 2022. I hate December updates. It's like so easy to get lost in the mix of Christmas and then into January. But anyway, those regs, watch out for things like your probationary period, your parallel employment clause. So just because your template was up to date 5 years ago doesn't mean your template's in good nick now. So get your template right, keep it up to date, make sure it hasn't been chopped and changed when you weren't looking. Check your template. And then the best thing for, in particular for this podcast, what we're talking about, the on-the-spot fines, have a process in place that you do not let that month pass without someone having their contract. And to be honest, I feel just try get it to them before they start. I don't know if I live in a, if I'm naive, again, of course, the lawyer's going to say that, you know, why would you start a job without your contract? But I mean, I know that depending on industries, that'll change. But just put the process in place that it's given well before the month. There's no point having a perfect template and then it doesn't get, you know, missing it. Just get that process, whatever way is the, you know, you give it to someone when you're giving them the uniform or where you're getting the bank details is always a good one that you include a kind of a section in it for bank details. And when they give you the bank details, you've also got the, you know, people are not going to be working without getting paid. They don't mightn't care about a contract, some workers, but they will be giving you the bank details. So, you know, what's the process that'll allow you to ensure that you don't, or you're not at all coming close to missing this 1 month deadline?
Definitely. I suppose kind of fun work yourself to Mary, and similar question. I mean, any advice, takeaways for employers? I mean, it's probably a lot of the things we say ourselves, a lot of the stuff Sarah has said. So I'd imagine a lot of echoing what Sarah has said there in the way of advice.
Without a doubt. I mean, it's really sensible. And Sarah, I say exactly the same thing. You know, issue the contract before someone starts, they're far more likely to sign it then for you. So often we see contracts unsigned because they're issued after someone's start date, and that allows the employee the opportunity to say, I'm not going to sign that. I don't want that. And you can get into, a bit of argy-bargy there. So it's easier to get it done before someone starts. But look, let's be honest, we're in the real world. To resources may not be there. You may have had your HR team culled in recent times. We all see the salaries going up for HR professionals and causing that movement in sectors. So hard to fill roles, people leaving roles for more money elsewhere. We know that a lot of HR people are struggling from that perspective because they are now under-resourced. But that being said, I think you should have an audit every year of your policies, procedures, terms and conditions, and just make sure that they're compliant, and ensure that all your new starters have been issued them and that ideally they're signed. And I would be, you know, always encouraging people to keep up to date. There's been a huge amount of change over the last number of years. And I'm still talking to people that maybe had documents updated in 2018, 2019. They are out of date. And you really do need to look at them and bring them up to speed. Because, you know, as Sarah says, the embarrassment for you and your organisation, if you find yourself subject to an inspection, you're getting on the spot fines, your employees, you know, are always aware that these inspections are happening, because often the WRC inspectors speak to the employees themselves directly as well, or maybe a sample of the employees when they're inspecting. And you can't prevent any of that from happening. You can maybe tell a WRC inspector that you don't have the time on the day that they call for them to complete the inspection and arrange an alternative date if they're open to that with you. Usually they are. But you know, you need to get your house in order. Would be my viewpoint. And I say that about policies and procedures as much as I say that about your terms and conditions of employment. There's no need to pay fines. And certainly it might be quite terrifying to think about the amount you might have to pay if you forgot to issue or didn't get around to issuing the last 10 new hires their terms and conditions of employment. Imagine what that on the spot fine might look like.
Yeah, and you need it, also, it's a small point, but you need the record that you have given it, you've sent it, you've got it, but you know, have a copy. If you're disorganized in terms of that, and that's it's you know, think of the process of how you can always just, so it's autopilot, and then you know when you haven't got one back. You know, that especially big numbers, you need a process on issuing and in checking in on compliance, that they're up to date, because it is the kind of the whole relationship will center around this contract. So it's of huge value to employers.
Yeah, and chopping and changing. Just one more word, my last word, Owen. Your point on the template, Sarah, is just so important. I mean, we have so often put together policies and procedures, terms and conditions, and, you know, somehow they didn't get implemented. Somehow they're still operating off an old template. They cut out probation clauses maybe for one key hire and forget to put it back in, and so nobody's got a probation clause in their template any longer. And you know, all these things can and do happen. So it's, you know, have your master copies,
and it's maybe worth locking, you know, you could password lock, sorry, you could lock your, I think that's one, you know, you can mark it template do not, and then lock it if you can some way, if we're, or PDF or something, and have it as your kind of core docs that only HR can amend, and then you send out the versions that, yeah, because different terms are negotiated, and that all makes sense, but easier to check and update your template for compliance than all your random different versions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Look, some clear rules, but even clearer advice on that. So look, thank you, Mary and Sarah, for a very practical, insightful discussion as always. So really appreciate that. Thank you to everyone for listening. We'll catch you next week for the next installment of our podcast. So don't forget to click subscribe and join the discussion on our social media channels. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this, actually, and do feel free to send us any questions on social media. If you are enjoying these episodes, do please feel free to share them with colleagues, friends, and family. And even better, if you can leave us a review on whatever platform you're on, we'd really appreciate that too. And as always, for HR consultancy services and management you can trust, get in touch with us today at insidehr.ie. Thank you, Sarah, and thank you, Mary.
Thank you.
Thank you, Owen. Thank you very much. And thank you, Mary, for having me.
Thanks for joining us today on the HR Room Podcast, the podcast series from Insight HR that helps you create the human resources systems and workplace culture that's right for your business. For show notes and bonus content, go to www.insighthr.ie/podcast. That's www.insighthr.ie/podcast. We'd love it if you subscribe, like and share the show with any friends and colleagues who are looking for fresh ideas on how to create the ideal workplace for their business. And remember, if you need any HR support, get in touch with us at Insight HR. Whether it's conducting a complex workplace investigation, filling a gap by providing you with a virtual or an on-site HR resource, or providing advice via our HR support line, we'll help you resolve whatever human resources challenge your business is facing. Thanks, and see you soon.